This week I found myself involved in numerous dialogues about different aspects of life, and all the dialogues seemed to point to different directions about how people were thinking. Because oftentimes we think about a lot of things and we get overwhelmed by those thoughts, and as I was listening, I began to hear a common thread that connected to each one of them, and so I began to ask the same question. And so as each person shared different parts of our country, they were calling, asking different insights. And one of the intriguing things, when you've been a pastor 40 years, you've lived in different places, you talk to people from different places that connect into different moments of your life. And so I was visiting with these folks, and it was interesting because the chat and the conversation all centered in really where their mind was versus where their heart needed to be. Because oftentimes we're not careful, we'll think the wrong way, and then we end up missing what it is God wants to do inside of our heart. And so the first conversation I had was centered in a completely irrational thought. And as the person shared the thought, at the end of the thought, they said, "I want you to know this is completely irrational." Well, when I heard it, I thought, well, my next question was, well, where's your heart at in this? And it's interesting because all of a sudden the question was turned in the right direction. Because if you know where your heart is, you can find what it is God has for you. Next conversation I had was a dialogue along the lines of one of the most inconsistent thoughts I'd ever had. Up and down on the radar screen of God and direction and hope and purpose and meaning. And as a result, when it was all at the end of the conversation, I said, "Where's your heart at?" And the person said, "Well, you know what? That's right. I need to get back to my heart." But then the third conversation I had was an insightful conversation, because the person started out by saying, "God has been speaking to my heart and sharing with me." And as a result of that, they were able to move forward and make progress regarding how they think and how they respond and what they're supposed to do. So think about this moment. If we're irrational, inconsistent, or insightful, I think I'd want to land in the insightful camp regarding life. And so what we discover is the Bible speaks of so many different aspects of us becoming effective in life and how it is that we think, how it is that we live, what it is that we watch over. And so I want to start, we're going to be looking today in two places of Scripture. I want to start just for a moment in one place, and then I want to use that as the basis to move you forward regarding your heart. And today we're in the second message on our series of Why Wait, Act Now. And today's message is entitled Guard Your Treasure. Because listen carefully, if you don't guard it, somebody else will take it. Because the reality is that you have to guard what it is God has entrusted to you. All right, and you'll see that, the concept of that, when we look at Proverbs chapter 4. So, but we're going to look in the Old Testament, New Testament, two places. Very quickly, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right? And I want you to turn there because I want you to see something. I want you to be reminded of the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was disconnected by way of thought, overwhelmed by issues, didn't understand which way to go, oftentimes found himself flesh-based by way of thought. And as a result, Paul writes letters to try to cause them to think the right way. All right, so when you get to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he begins to break down and try to grab hold of what it is that they're working through. All right, so look, if you would, let's just begin in verse 3. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." Now, when you read that, you'll notice he says something. We're taking these thoughts captive this way. We realize that we are going to have things that we have come at us that are lofty, that are speculative, that are ultimately detrimental to us. And so what I want you to think about today is, what would happen if you filter your mind through the truth of Proverbs chapter 4, all right? So turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and as you're turning there, let me just give you a little bit of basis of thought regarding this particular text. This text is an invigorating text that opens the eyes of a son from a father speaking, and the father knows something. If his son doesn't get it, he'll miss the best of life. He'll miss the best of life. And so when you think about your life and where you are, if you were to look inside your heart right now, what would you see? If you were to just look inside and go, okay, this is what I see. Because it's interesting, because when you begin to see what your heart says, that begins to define the parameters of how you effectively or ineffectively live life. Because if your heart is tainted by sin or overwhelmed by circumstances, if you find yourself losing the energy that God intended, what happens to you? You end up not being able to be effective the way God intended. And so I want you to think about regarding your life and your steps and your journey. What happens if all of a sudden something begins to transpire inside of you and you start living out Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So look at that with me if you would. Notice this text. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring. Excuse me, do that again. For from it flows the springs of life. Watch over your heart, because these springs come flowing out. And it's interesting. He says here, with all diligence. In other words, you absolutely determined you're going to accomplish this no matter what. And I don't know if you think about it very often, but only the things that we set our heart on do we ultimately accomplish completely. Only those things. Everything else gets in the way. Because what happens? We get distracted. We get overwhelmed. We find ourselves facing all kinds of circumstances that cause us to go, you know what, I'm going to look at this, I'm going to look at that. And it's interesting because as Solomon writes these words, here's what he's trying to say. You want to be the woman you're supposed to be, the man you're supposed to be? You want to be the child you're supposed to be? You have to be wise enough to watch over. And the idea of watching over something is guarding it. Guarding it and taking care of it no matter what. Because when you guard it, you realize nobody else can get it. You look at that and say, this is my treasure. This is what God has given me. And so as you think about that, in this fourth proverb, and you remember, if you work back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, for he will direct your steps. What is Solomon trying to get across? It is not about what you and I do. It's what he does in us. Because what he says, if you start trying to figure life out, you're not going to figure it out. But if you stop and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I see what you have for me. Then something begins to happen inside of who you are. Because watch this carefully. Our life purpose is always found in discovering the treasure of our heart. Because when you find your heart, something begins to happen inside of you. Because all of a sudden, you start going, wait a minute now. I know what it is he called me to do. Listen carefully. If you know what it is he wants to do inside of you, let him do it. Don't sit and say, well, you know, I'm going to get back to that at some point. I've been through a lot of difficulty, a lot of struggles, a lot of heartache. Read the Bible about everybody else who did too, but they stayed in it. They stayed focused. And so I want you to think about, what if your life purpose is to be something more than you are right now? What if he wants to do something in you that's so invigorating, so energizing, so equipping, that you realize you'll never be the same, that your life will never be disconnected again. You'll be connected to his purpose. You'll wake up in the morning with the joy of the Lord resting on you. You'll find yourself at noonday hearing him speak. You'll find yourself at nighttime saying, Lord, speak to me again. Let your favor rest on me. And I'll tell you what happened. You get there, you begin to realize, you know what? I'm inside of my purpose. I'm inside of what it is he wants to accomplish through me. I yield myself to that. I yield myself to something beyond myself so that I can hear him speak. All right? So as you find yourself in Proverbs chapter 4, you begin to go, wait a minute now. So if my life purpose is defined by discovering the treasure of my heart, then what were the key ingredients? What were the things that were absolutely centered in the action plan that Solomon knew his son had to have? All right? And I want you to get this because you're going to see something. Today, and I want to challenge you to think about this. If you read through Proverbs, here's what you discover. 66 times he refers to the heart. 66 times. And why does he do that? Because he realized something. If you find your heart, you'll find him. If you find what it is he wants to do inside of you, you'll find what it is he can accomplish that only he can do. You just have to be willing to grab hold of it. I was sitting in church after church last Sunday, and one of our members walked by me, and he shook my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, I get it. I get it. I don't need to wait. I need to act. And I'm going to tell you what Solomon knew. If his son waited, he'd miss the best of life. So when you look at this entire book of Proverbs, there are four things that are very evident that are action plan ingredients that I want to point out to you. And they're interlaced in particular in the early parts as he starts writing, but they are affirmed as the Proverbs unfold in each chapter. The first thing has to do with this whole idea of understanding. In other words, being able to go, you know what, I get it. I get it. I understand what it is he's trying to say to me. And here's what you discover. It's only inside of deeply seeking his face through his word that you discover what it is he wants for you. So you start saying, Lord, I get the understanding you have for me. It doesn't stop there, though. This entire book, in particular this chapter, has to do with the concept of obedience. because obedience has something very powerful to do inside of each one of our lives. As we obey, we experience Him. So obedience has a very distinctive quality that centers our life in discovering what it is He has for it. Then there's wisdom. And you're going to see today, He uses the phrase as He writes, acquire wisdom. In other words, make sure your number one acquisition in life is not what disappears, but something that stays forever, something that stands forever. And the fourth and final ingredient that you find in this text is the whole idea of instruction. Because what He does, He instructs exactly how you're supposed to do something. And that instruction allows you to begin to experience life the way that He intended. So when you start thinking about this text, the first thought you say is, okay, wait now, I need to learn how to guard my heart. And I want to show you today how you can use this text to motivate you to guard over your heart and what it is He wants to accomplish through you. And as we dig into it, and you start guarding over your heart, you're going to discover something. There have probably been moments where you miss what it is that He had for you because you didn't guard it. In other words, you didn't say, you know what, I'm going to watch over this no matter what. You ever had a thought hit you, and it hit you, and it stayed there because you didn't deal with it? Paul said at the Corinthians, if you don't take every thought captive, which, by the way, when you look at that text in verse 5, the key focus is in the phrase, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That obedience of Christ, that obedience to Jesus, is centered in our relationship to Him, our personal relationship, which tells you something. If you're here today and Christ is not in your heart, then you're missing the one thing that unlocks every thought you'll ever have. Because what Jesus does, He does something in you you can't do for yourself. Because when He comes into you, He changes your life. One of the great joys of my heart in the last 3 weeks is listening and watching as my sweet wife is sharing the gospel with children at one of the schools here. And when she tells the story of these children, and it's interesting how they describe their experience. For one of the children, the description is this: I feel Him squeezing my heart. And when I hear that, I think, you know what? He is squeezing their heart forever. And that's what's amazing about the gospel. When Christ becomes everything, He squeezes our hearts regularly to say, you know what? I need you to stay focused on what matters the most. All right, so here in chapter 4, I wanted to use this text because when you get to on down, and if you get back to verse 18, look at that verse, because he said, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. So what does Solomon say? When you get on the right path, you start seeing more light. You start seeing more experiences He intended for you. You start hearing Him speak more clearly. You start yielding more effectively. And what happens to you? You get life the way He intended. And let me tell you what you discover. When you center in on what He has for you, it takes away all of the stuff and the junk that gets in your way. And you're able to focus in on Him. All right? So let's look at this. I want you to look at and break it down. I want you to look at verses 1 through 9 first. And as you're looking there, you'll see one very overarching concept. Verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast. Notice that phrase. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is what? Acquiring wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present to you with a crown of beauty. Now you'll notice that he uses the phrase there in verse 4, let your heart hold fast my words. All right? And what does he say here? He's giving to each one of us the first secret to guarding our heart. And it has to do with holding fast to the principle of what it is he gives us. Holding fast to his principle. Because here's what you discover. There are all kinds of principles coming out of it that they're not from him. They're not from him at all. And in fact, this week, a friend of mine, he passed a sheet to me, and it was a circular diagram that had three different diagrams, but they were all secular-based. But he looked at me and said, you know, if you get right here in the center here, you have the best life. Well, as I was reading, I thought, that's not true. Because one of the circles said, get the best job paying the most money. And as I read, I thought, you know, that's not true. Because really what the reality is, let me say this to you. It doesn't matter what you make, but it does matter what you do with it. how you process that moves you forward effectively in life or ineffectively. So you got to look very carefully at what it is you read. Hold fast to his principle. And notice what Solomon does, because Solomon says to his son some really key things. The first one is the importance of maintaining attention without abandonment. In other words, he says here, don't abandon what it is I'm saying to you. And what he's trying to get across is, when you start paying attention, you don't let go of that thought. You grab hold of it and say, you know what, that gets me where I'm supposed to go. You grab hold of that thought and say, you know what, I'm going to become who he called me to be. And you get attention towards it. And he uses the word there. You'll notice he makes it very clear in verse 2. Do not abandon my instruction. And the idea of abandonment is to set something aside with no consideration. In reality, it's the most important thing you ever heard. I mean, look at how many times you often see the stories of children being abandoned, others being abandoned, wives being abandoned, husbands being abandoned, lives being abandoned. And what they set aside what is absolutely essential for them being who they're supposed to be. And so I want you to think about what happens if you get attention, if someone gets your attention, and they grab hold of it. In fact, this week someone told me about getting stopped by a police officer. And it's interesting. I said, well, they get your attention? They did, because it cost me a lot of money. And as the person was telling me that, I thought to myself, sometimes it takes, watch this, the gospel to grab hold of us and get our attention in such a way that it captures us. Because we have a trial, a difficulty, a heartache, and it comes at it, and we have to deal with that. We have to work through that. And as a result, we end up finding ourselves saying, Lord, I want you to work in my life. So the first thing I want you to see is this. If you hold fast to his principle, you maintain attention and focus. And let me tell you why this is challenging. We live in a day where there are multiple stimuli coming at us all the time. A lot of things that don't really matter and don't really count, but they all bombard us. And we have to be careful to set aside every thought that comes at us that's not from him and end up centering our lives on what matters the most. And that's exactly what Solomon says here. So first of all, you put attention to it. You don't let go of it. The second thing, look at verse 4. Notice what he said. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. When you read that, you realize something. He says something, that words and commands, God's word and commands are what create life for us. They're the very thing that give us a chance to live and be sustained. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered. When I anchor myself in a promise that comes from God, I'm able to move forward no matter what it is I'm facing. But if I move outside of his promises, outside of his command, which, by the way, it's very interesting, a command is not optional. A command is not optional. In other words, when he gives a command, it's not for us to say, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to obey that this week. I think I'm going to center my life on something else. No, you have to do it every time he commands you, whatever it is he says to you. And that's why it's so important for us to look inside of our own hearts and say, you know what? I don't want to miss any command. I don't want to miss any word he has for me. And that's why we challenge you with the 9:15 concept, for example, that you take the time every day to be able to pray and look inside of his word. And if you look at your bulletin any Sunday, you see that logo popped up there. It's not a logo to look good and green. It's a logo to say to each one of us, stay inside the word. Stay inside beseeching the Lord. Stay inside of experiencing who he is. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. When you seek his face and he begins to speak to you, something begins to happen inside of who you are that transforms your life. And when Jesus becomes the center point of everything you're about, every command he gives you, every instruction he gives you does something for you. And so what you need to think about is this. If I hold fast these principles, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep attention to what it is he's saying to me, but I'm going to make sure that when I read a command, I obey it. For example, I gave you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 for a reason. Because when you read the 6th verse here, he says, when your obedience is complete. And now here's what he was saying. If you don't know who you are in him, you can't go where he wants you to go. That's what he's saying. But if you know who you are in Christ, then you can take every thought captive and nothing can bombard you, nothing can steal your joy, nothing can take away your direction. All right, so that's the second thing. The third thing I want you to see, look if you would, on down at verse 5, because he uses a phrase that he re-echoes in verse 7. Notice what he says here. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And here's what I want you to get. You can't miss this no matter what. What does Solomon say? The greatest acquisition in life is wisdom. Why did your grandmother influence you, or your grandfather, or a pastor, or someone? They were wise, and when you're around, say, you know what, that person speaks to me. That person has the wisdom to move me forward. Why? Because they acquired wisdom. I think about my own life. I think about the wisdom of my sweet grandmother. Second grade education, but so wise. Why? Because she kept her life centered in something that mattered. And what I want you to think about today is this. All of us are writing a story. And the story will be either the story of the wisdom that we operate with or the lack thereof that creates all kinds of chaos for everybody who encounters it. And I happen to live near Kroll Brothers over there where the cemetery is. And during the Christmas break, I watched a family bury somebody. And I watched them every day for over 5 days stand at that grave all day long. I pull out of my neighborhood, they'd be standing there. And I'm not talking about one or two, I'm talking about lots of people. I have no idea what their story was, but I sat there thinking, either they are grieving without hope, or they are celebrating with great wisdom the person who had invested their life in them. It's only one or two. So what I want you to think about today is, at the end of your story, will the people grieve? Will people say, man, that man made a difference, that woman made a difference, that kid made it? Or will they say, what do they believe in? What do they stand for? That's why, for example, we're a church that celebrates and anchors ourselves in a right to life. I have on my credenza in my office the pictures of 12 children from another country, all of which were slated to be aborted, but instead were saved through a ministry. And they're the most beautiful pictures. I was captured by the pictures. I thought, what a great story. But what I want you to see today is it. What begins at conception should only end when God chooses. Because the reality is, if we begin to define when someone can make that kind of choice, what we're saying is that we're wiser than God. Because here's what the psalmist said. Before you were ever formed, before you were anything, he knew you. He knew you. Well, either clap like you believe it or don't clap at all, okay? We're not Methodists, so clap louder, okay? That's better, all right? Now, if you're Methodist, I love you. All right, so let's go on. Don't judge me. Take that thought captive, okay? All right, so what do we do here, though? I'm trying to convey something to you. There are commands, there are instructions that guide us. And let me just say this to you. If you anchor yourself in His command, nobody can move you. Nobody can move you. You stay centered in Him. The second thing, though, first of all, you hold fast to His principle. The second thing is this. Look at it with me, if you would, because beginning in verse 10, He begins to address the path we choose in life, the good path or the bad path. Stay either on the right path or you miss what it is that He wants to do inside of you. So today I want you to think about it. What would happen if you all of a sudden you see the path you're supposed to be on? My wife, brother and family were here last week and they were showing all these pictures of this trip. They'd gone on this hiking excursion all over Switzerland, and they were showing these pictures, and I said, man, how do you find the right path? And then he started showing all these pictures of all these signs. And one sign would say, you know, such and such, 10 kilometers, such and such, 2 hours. So I asked the question, is it really a two-hour hike? He said, only if you're Swiss, and only if you've been hiking all your life. Because if you're an American, and you like cheeseburgers, it can take a lot longer, a longer hike to get there. But here's what you discover. All those signs were there so that somebody didn't get lost. I'm going to tell you what you see in these verses. Solomon writes so that they'll stay on the right path and not miss what God has for them. Look at it with me, if you would. Verse 10, as it unfolds. Hear, my son, accept my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. So here's the first thing you see. His path, his direction is always centered in wisdom. In other words, when you get from God what He wants you to do for you, then He will center it into exactly what you have. I was conversing this week with somebody who is getting ready to go on a missionary. He got a very, very clear call to missions. And it's interesting because in the midst of all this, not everybody in the family is excited about it. And as the person began to share that, I began to think about if you stay on this upright path, directed in a way of wisdom, you'll be able to accomplish exactly what God intended. Even if everybody else goes, what are you doing? What's happening? Why are you making this choice? Because ultimately, we have to be obedient to God. And if we're obedient to God, He does something in it. All right? So all of a sudden, he says, be careful. You're going to be led. I have led you. And let me tell you what's the key here. Everybody needs somebody to follow. Why do you think that we make the choice as ministers in this church to live the right way? Why do you think we make the choice to be able to live an obedient life to show you? The choice is clear. We want our children to see what it is God's up to. We want the children in our church to realize, just like they did on Friday night, some of our children were in a nursing home right down the street here, right here on Holcomb Bridge, right there at Peregrine Landing. And let me tell you what they were doing. They were looking into the eyes of these folks who are at the end of their journey. And it's interesting what the people said to little bitty children. It's the first time I've seen a child in such a long time. Right there, right down the street. But motivated, watch this, motivated by the instruction that if you teach the children the right way, then the world will be changed. Lives will be changed. And so here he says, you got to be willing to be careful to make sure your direction is centered in wisdom. Look on though. And follow along with me. Verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Here's back to that same phrase. Guard her, for she is your life. And I want you to, you can't miss this, because here's what he said. Your security from stumbling in life rests in the obedience to the instruction God gives you. Because when you get secure in him and he starts telling you, this is what I want you to do. These are steps I want you to take. What I love is if you were to dig into Proverbs and spend a lot of time there, just look over just for a second, if you would, in Proverbs 23. I want you to just plant your thoughts there just for a second. Because when you get there, look at verse 7 just for a second. Now move quickly, by the way, because I got a lot to say. I'm going to run out of time. I'm not going to run out of time because I'm going to go until I finish, but I want to do it in a timely fashion. That's a better way. All right? Look at Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. You start thinking the wrong way, start thinking and evaluating the wrong way, what happens to you? You get all messed up. Look at chapter 22, verse 29. Notice what he said. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. But why does he say that? Look at verse 28. Notice what he said. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. What boundaries did the fathers set? The boundaries were set. Moral purity, integrity in life, focused on what mattered, obedience to God, yielding in wisdom, seeking his face no matter what. Those were things. And what happens is Solomon says to him, just because you live in a shifting sand of a culture, don't change your values. Your father taught you. You were taught by your father, your grandfather, your grandmother. They taught you something, your parents. And what happens is when you get there, all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I can see what it is he wants to do in me. I can see how he wants to work and how he wants to instruct me and guide me. And what you got to be careful about is this. And I would encourage you, you want to have an insightful journey? I'm going to encourage you, you start today on the 29th and you read the proverb that links to that day for the next 30 days. In other words, on the 30th, you read Proverb 30. And of course, and then you get to the 31st, you read Proverb 31. And then you get the first day of February, read that one. And watch what happens. I'll tell you what you're going to discover. And just look for one or two key words. Look for heart and instruction and see what you see. What will happen is you'll change your life in 30 days. Because all of a sudden you won't anchor yourself in what you think, you'll anchor yourself in what he thinks. And what God thinks is always wisest for it. All right, so he talks about here how important it is that we don't stumble. I don't know if you've ever stumbled. You ever fallen and didn't want anybody to see it? I mean, you can be honest. I mean, I've made a few stumbles that I really wasn't concerned about what kind of damage was in my body, but I was concerned about who saw it. And I can remember getting up going, you know, dusting myself off. And it's a difference in that. I watch my grandkids stumble. They never even blink. They're not worried about anybody thinks because they don't get back up, get moving again. And let me tell you what Solomon knew. Solomon knew something. You want to quit stumbling? Anchor yourself in the right truth. And that's why he gives this caution. Look at it with me, if you would. Because he gives a caution that you and I need to make sure we listen to. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep. Watch this. Can't miss it. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Teenagers, you hear that? I mean, boys, listen, let me give you an example. Let's say you're a boy and you're walking through your high school and you see a beautiful girl. And you see her and your first thought is, man, she's beautiful. Your next thought is, I wonder if she likes me. The next thought is she walks up to you and says, you know what, I'd like for you to come over and we're going to have fun. Well, after a while you go, wait, now I got to think through what's happening here. Because all of a sudden I'm captured by a thought that may not take me where God wants me to go. And what I want to challenge all of our kids, and let me tell you what's staggering. When we let our culture say that purity was not important, we destroyed a generation of kids. When we said to kids, you know what, do what you want to do, whatever makes you feel good, do it. We said to them, let loose the license of all your moral character. That's why Pastor Ron can tell you, I can tell you, we live in a day where people want to do whatever they want to do, no matter what the cost. And what I want to say to you is this, Solomon would not tolerate that. He said, you be careful. And notice how he says it here. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. What does he say here? So important. Stay very aware of any imminent danger coming at you. Stay aware of it. Be aware of what's transpiring around you. Be aware of what it is you're watching on a television screen. Be aware of what it is you're listening to that someone else is saying. Be aware. Be aware. And you want to look at what has damaged our culture? It is liberal professors in universities who have no clue who God is, have no clue what it is to be able to cause a child to realize purity is important, have no clue how to direct them actually academically, because all of their thought process is to increase their worldview to see everything is right. Listen carefully. Everything is not right. And when we get in that mindset that we say, you know what, we're going to live this way, whatever we say we're going to do, listen, it's not right, it's not wise. It does not get you what you need. And what Solomon is saying here, be wise enough. Be wise enough to get focused on the right thing. I thank God that when I was going to the university, I was going to a Christian university, but there were professors there who did not believe in hell, did not believe in heaven, did not believe in anything. And I thank God for the simple-minded man who was a part of one of my classes, was a part of my ministry when I was a college pastor, because I'll never forget his confrontation with the academic genius of the Bible on the campus of that school. That genius stood in class one day and looked at everyone in the class and said, I don't know why you waste your time sharing the gospel. There's no such thing as hell. And I can remember so vividly my friend lifting his hand. And he lifts his hand and he looks in the eyes of the brilliant professor, who will flunk him out of that class, by the way. Looks in the eyes of the brilliant professor academically. By the way, you can be brilliant academically and be absolutely ignorant spiritually. And so he looks in the eyes of that professor and he makes this statement. You may not believe it now, but you will when you get there. Is that not a great thought? What I'm saying to you is, there are those who make you stumble. All right? And if somebody listens carefully, if someone questions the validity of Scripture, if someone questions the virgin birth, if someone questions what the Holy Spirit can do, if someone gets in that arena, run, because you're listening to somebody who can tickle your ears but never change your heart. Be wise, all right? You may not know it, but lots of things like that are happening in our very city. All right, let's look on. Third thing I want you to see. First of all, hold fast his principles. Secondly, stay on the right path. And let me say this to you. If he puts you on a path, stay on it. Stay on it no matter what. Don't be discouraged. Don't be overwhelmed. Stay on it. But the final thing he gives us is so important, and we're finished. As we look at what he, in verse 20, he comes back to obedience. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their bodies. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. What's he say here? Diligently guard your heart. What he's saying here is, it's here that you guard everything. You watch over it no matter what. Diligent. And the idea of diligence, watch this. It's centered in the area of us being so disciplined, we couldn't miss it no matter what, because it's who we are. We're disciplined in this. We're diligent in it. And something begins to happen inside of who we are as we do that. So what does he do here? There are three things very quickly. First of all, he makes it very clear. Center your heart in Jesus. That's easy to grasp. Center your heart in Jesus. And as you look at it, he makes it very clear in these early verses. Do not, verse 20, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Center your heart in him. Let me tell you what I've discovered. When Jesus becomes the central focal point of our lives, we are energized, we're equipped, we're motivated, we're challenged, and we can excel in what it is he's called us to do. We just have to make sure we keep him in the center. Which, by the way, if he gets off center, you're imbalanced. You got to keep him in the center of who you are. Second thing I want you to see, not only do we have to be wise enough to keep our lives centered in him, but remember this. All of life comes from our diligent obedience. I'm going to tell you, everything comes. And it's interesting because we have the privilege now of having four little grandkids in our lives. And it's interesting because obedience is the key to their future. And it's so hard at times to say, don't do that. Because you don't want to ever do anything but say, oh, you're a wonderful little kid. But the truth is, as wonderful as they are and as much as we love them, you still have to say, go the right way. Take the right step. You got to make sure you discipline them. And what he says here is so evident. As when you look at verse 23, he says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And here's what I want to ask you. Wouldn't you like to have a big spring of water flowing all around you? Have you ever seen amazing cascades of water? And you try to capture them in a picture, and you look at it and you go, wow, that's so beautiful. But when they dry up, there's nothing to see. It's gone. And I'm going to tell you what Solomon was trying to say. Watch over it so you don't ever miss that spring. Let it keep flowing out of you. Let it keep flowing over and over again. Final thing I want you to see is that as you look at this text, he makes it clear in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. I want you not to forget this. Our tongues are guarded to ensure our future impact. In other words, when we say it the right way, and we guard our tongue. It's interesting because he makes clear deception and deviant behavior, all the different things don't come out of our mouth. They don't become a part of who we are. And what you see here is he wants to make clear that if we watch over our hearts, something amazing will happen. So today I want to ask you, if you look at your own heart and you look inside, what do you hear your heart saying? Do you hear your heart saying, you know what, I've got to get in on what he's up to? Do you hear your heart saying, nothing can hold me back? Or do you hear your heart saying, I have no idea who I am, which way to go? You see, when you get down to it, if you let his heart become your story, your heart becomes really amazing. So today I want to ask you to only act not on behalf of all your thoughts you have in your head, but what you hear in your heart. For example, you may be sitting there saying, you know, I just need to understand every aspect of this church before I ever become a part of it. No, you don't. You need to understand who Jesus is, and you need to understand why he is the center of our church. That's why you don't walk around this building with all kinds of pictures of people. You see the cross. So if you need to understand what the church is about, the church is about the cross. The church is about the sacrifice God has made. You've already heard me. And by the way, if you don't line up what I said today, it's no problem. It's truth. I live it, I believe it, and I'm going to take it to the grave with me. And so you may be here going, you know what? I've never had Christ in my heart. I need him in my heart. And by the way, if you don't have him, you have nothing. You have nothing. But if you put him in, something happens powerfully. I want to challenge you to follow your heart today and see what he does inside of you, okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we come today understanding something. If we follow our hearts, we guard the treasure you've given us, we have an amazing life. Lord, there's in this room, there are men and women, there are students or others who need to act on that on behalf of that. They need to say, you know what? That's what I want. There's some in this very room who have given their hearts to Christ but never been baptized, never taken that step of obedience, Lord, and it's time for them to take that step. Whether it's a teenager, whether it's an adult, take that step and say, Lord, I'm going to follow my heart. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to know you, we want to introduce them to you. There's someone here who needs to become part of our family. We want you to speak to their heart. Lord, may they follow your heart and hear their heart as you affirm it. Bless, Lord, as we respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.